serious things in all the world to talk about. As a matter of fact, when you breathe your last breath, the only thing that will matter is whether or not your name is in the Book of Life. And so that's how serious this is. So let's talk about that today, and I'll pray, and then we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you now for opportunity to open it, to preach from it, to hear from it. Thank you also for another baptism, starting the new year with a baptism, and we thank you for the salvations in recent weeks and months, and we thank you for Dallas helping to continue to learn and grow and mature, and for Sean who's away, and the others that have recently been saved. Pray for those that are missing and sick or out of town, that you'll bring them back to us soon. Help us to have time now in your word, and your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, I want to explain something to you. God keeps a record book of everyone's life. Everyone's life is recorded. There is a book that is recording our lives. Now, that's human life and also eternal life. In Psalm 56 and verse 8, I'm going to read you some of these verses, and you can turn to them if you think you can get to them in time. But Psalm 56 verse 8 says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God has a book. And apparently, he, so to speak, puts our tears in a bottle or collects our griefs and our sorrows. He pays attention to us. He knows all about us. In Malachi 3, it says that there's a book of remembrance that was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And then here in Psalm 139, David writes an interesting passage inspired by God. And I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it says in verse number 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." By the way, I think this passage is a great passage to turn to when you want to talk to someone about when life begins. Because according to that passage, if you read it and understand it, before all of his members were in existence and were totally finished and completely grown, he already was in the book. He was recorded in his book in verse 16 before he was completed in the womb of his mother. So I think that's a very strong passage to talk about life beginning at conception. And what's interesting is it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's the record of every life that ever was. And with that sobering thought in mind, you realize that even when someone on planet Earth says, nope, they weren't alive yet, God's book declares differently. We are getting so crazy in our wicked world today that now they're deciding that they can actually be born, and then if the parent doesn't want them, they can be declared not alive yet. But according to the word of God, before the members were completed inside his mother's womb, they were already recorded in his book. And I guarantee you one thing, no matter how many liberals and how many people want to say otherwise, God's got a record of every life. Now, I also believe that the unborn, as well as the infants and toddlers that die without Christ, die in a state of grace, in a state of not knowing any different or knowing better. And so I think all of these lives that were taken early are in heaven. But I want to talk to you today not about abortion, but about the Book of Life. Something very near and dear to my heart as I get older and we take more Christmas pictures, I notice this every year. I got more skin up there than I do hair. That wasn't supposed to be funny. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? God pays attention to the sparrows when they fall to the ground. And then he says in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. God even knows the hairs on our head. He has a record of us. He keeps our tears in a bottle, so to speak. He knows the hairs on our head. God keeps a record of everyone's life, whether temporary or eternal. Secondly, though having life, not every life is permanently recorded in heaven. Not every life is permanent. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses was praying. He was so grieved over the people and their sin. And from this passage and other passages, we learn that the Bible says that some can and some will be blotted out. And I was reading the Word of God years ago and realized that when it says blotted out, it doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, but we stop living. We lose our opportunity to be saved because of reprobate minds. Exodus chapter 32, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. And now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and this is the only time in the Bible where there's like a hyphen. If thou wilt forgive their sin, dot, 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 dash, dash, dash. He stops his prayer as if he's not sure God can because of what they've done. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I believe that God forgives and wants to forgive people. But if a person doesn't want to turn to him and trust him as Savior, that person, when they breathe their last breath, will have been blotted out of the Lamb's book of life because they will have ceased to exist. Or if that person chooses to rebel and to be a reprobate mind and to have a heart that's so hard, and I think there are people out there, they know the truth, and they are so convinced of the truth, but they have rebelled against God and they've turned from it. The Bible says God turns them over to a reprobate mind. But here we see in Exodus 32 that God will blot out some from the book. In Psalm 69:28 says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. In Matthew chapter 7, I want to turn to this one. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, and this is very sobering. I hope you'll follow along with me and listen to what's being said here. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? By the way, even those things that are so amazing and so unique and so attention-grabbing are not what saves people. Salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Dallas is going to get baptized here real soon. But it is not the water of baptism that saves someone. It is not church membership that saves someone. It's not even casting out demons or devils that saves someone, as Jesus says here. It's doing the will of God. And the will of God is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so in verse 23 he says, and then will I profess unto them. And this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now hold on a second. Wesley is a smart young man. Is there anything God doesn't know? But he says there that there'll be people standing before him and he'll say, I never knew you. What, is God lying? No. I like to use this illustration because it's the only thing I can think of to help us to see it in our common era. But once in a while, and I hate it when this happens, but once in a while, I've got this thing on the office desk. It's this evil demon-possessed thing called a computer. And I put lots and lots of information in that thing. And if I'm smart and I remember, I'll get myself an external hard drive or some kind of a hard drive, and I will remember to save everything. But how many of us have forgotten to do that? And one day I come in there, and I push on the power button, and it makes these weird garbling, chink, chink, crashing, banging noises. And smoke comes out the back. And I tell that computer, you have lots of information in you. I told you yesterday a bunch of stuff. I told you last week a bunch of stuff. You are full of information. And that computer says, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And I find out the hard way that it's lost. Now, computers aren't in the Bible, but the word saved and the word lost is in the Bible. And when God says, depart from me, I never knew you, it's because there's a delete button that is pressed. And that same delete button is a mercy for you and I, because when we die and go to heaven, the only reason why heaven is going to be enjoyable for those of us who are going is because he's going to delete our memories as well, our bad memories. I mean, because even if you were in heaven and you were forgiven of all your sin, just the memory of all the people who aren't there would grieve you, wouldn't it? And he deletes that as well. It says in Revelation, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. The only way he could wipe away all the tears from your eyes is to delete your bad memories. And here we see Jesus saying, I will stand before people who will claim to have done wonderful works and will claim to have been my servants, and I will say, I never knew you. Wow. That's a message for all the religious people out there. Because religion by itself does not take us to heaven. What matters is that we are in the Lamb's Book of Life on Judgment Day. In Luke chapter number 10, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What matters is that your name is written in heaven, not that you've done wonderful powers or something like that, but that you are just simply there. 1 John 5 says it this way, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can do lots of good and wonderful things, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have real life. So I believe that everybody is originally recorded in the book of life. But only the saved, point number three, are permanently recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's why it's saved versus lost. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it says in verse 22, you're coming to Mount Zion, to a numeral company of angels, city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Philippians 4:3, Paul says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. You're either saved or you're lost. What a blessing when my son comes up to me and says, Dad, don't you remember? We've got this external hard drive, and we backed everything up last night. Whoo, praise the Lord. Because then it doesn't matter if the old computer dies. The memory's still there. The record is still there. That's what saved means. I know you've heard that word. That's what saved means. It means not to just be existent for a temporary, but to be saved for eternal. It's saved for eternity. It's the difference between life temporary and life everlasting. He that hath the Son hath life. A lot of people think this life is life. And I've shown pictures before, and I've captured pictures just to prove the point. I won't show it today, but there's people out there that have died with some wealth, and maybe they chose to be, and there's, you can look this up, this is true. They chose to be buried in their Cadillac. And they were instructed to take the cash that they left behind and to throw it into the grave as they lowered the Cadillac with the air conditioning and the stereo running and the dead body sitting behind the wheel, and they lowered it into the ground. Somebody had the audacity to say, man, that's living. No, that's not living. But that's just temporary life. And all of us are going to come to a grave someday. But life eternal goes beyond what this body can last. It's eternal. Our soul is eternal, and it goes to heaven or to hell for eternity. And only the saved are permanently recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how do you get saved? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." There's a hymn, I think we have it in our book, called "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory." It's not technically correct, because I think every name is written. But what happens instead is that if you die without Christ, you're erased. It's almost as if opening up a phone book and going through the list of the names, and you come alphabetically to your name, and there's this blank spot, and you used to be there, but you're not there. And he says, "Those who overcome, I will blot out." How do you overcome? Is it giving a lot of money to charity? No. How do you overcome? Is it by going to church all the time, every time you can? How do you overcome? Well, chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 tells us how they overcame. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That's Satan. That's what he does. He's just an evil being that wants to ruin our lives. He points at you and me and says that, and accuses us of all kinds of things. And we'd be guilty of it, except that Jesus paid the price for our sin and erased the guilt, those of us who are saved. Verse 11 says, "This is how they overcame. And they overcame him by good works and baptism and church membership." Is that what it says? Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." The blood of Jesus Christ and the very word of God. When I stand before God, there's only one thing that I will claim: the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross for me. And because heaven's perfect, I won't even have to tell them. They'll already know. The blood of Jesus Christ is my ticket, is my salvation. Trusting in him and him alone, the redemption, the paid for purchase that he made for me on the cross, that is my salvation. And you say, well, where do you get that? From the word. The very word of God tells me I'm saved. Tells me and everyone else that trusts in the same blood that we can be born again. Oh, there's some awful people that don't deserve to be in that book of life. I'm one of them. But because the Bible says that he is merciful and he is faithful to forgive, we can be permanently recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm trusting in the blood of the Lamb. That's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And they love not their lives unto the death. I don't know if you notice when you listen to Brother Bill and his message, in his letter, and other missionaries, you can't love your own life so much that you can't love other people. You lose your life so that you can help other people find theirs, find true life. That's what a missionary is, someone who gives up the temporary things so that other people can enjoy the eternal things. Jesus was the first missionary. He gave up his home so that you and I could enjoy eternity. And so how do you overcome? How are you not blotted out? By receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Being born again, trusting in him for salvation. That's what Dallas has done, and he'll be baptized as a demonstration of what he believes. That's what others have done recently, being saved, being born again. Notice also, number five, many, notice unsaved. Many unsaved will worship the beast, and they will be permanently deleted out of the book. In Revelation chapter 13, just one more page over, it says in verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," that's the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Remember, the book of Revelation is written future perfect, and so it already knows who's saved and who's not. And those people who are reprobate to God and are rebellious against God, and they turn from God, and they go ahead and worship Satan, and they take his mark, as it says in later in the chapter, that mark is the what they call the mark of the beast in 666, and we see that, and how that they can't buy or sell without the mark. Some people say, well, we don't have to worry about that. We'll be long gone before that ever happens. Man, I can't imagine in a world where you're not allowed to buy or sell unless you wear something or have something injected into you. It's a long time from now, right? Won't happen in our lifetime. I think eventually, I'm not saying that wearing a mask is the mark. That's not what I'm saying. But the conditioning is here. We're being conditioned. And eventually, it will come to the point where people will either say, no, I cannot take that mark, because I'm going to worship Satan if I do. You say, yeah, but they're going to cut the heads off of people who don't take that mark. Well, you can trade a little longer life here for eternity there. Not, isn't it a no-brainer for me? It's a tough time. Tough times are ahead. And many unsaved will worship the beast, and they will permanently be deleted out of the book. It's not worth the trade. And the Bible says that these people have turned themselves over to a reprobate mind, to deny Christ and to go against him, to turn from the truth into a lie. And we're seeing that today. We're seeing many people believe a lie instead of truth. So that will come. But then notice also in Revelation, in verse 17, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. These people are the ones that will worship. And then chapter 20, and this is where I want to finish today. Revelation chapter 20. And chapter 21. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Verse 11 says there's a great white throne. There's a judgment coming. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Let me stop here and say that these people are already blotted out of the book. And the reason why the book of life is open is just to prove to them that they no longer are in there. They chose not to be in there. And it's shown to them, you never existed. Depart from me, I never knew you. Years ago, I had a friend named Jason who was in the same dorm as I was in college. And I was walking down the hall, and Jason was sitting in the chair with a payphone, when it was back in the days of payphones. And he had a really puzzled look on his face. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't exist. He said, this is the Social Security people. I gave them my number. They say, that's not me. I got the card, but they tell me I don't exist. I said, good for you. But seriously, how sad and how scary is it if you don't exist? And that's why it says, I saw the dead stand before God. These people are dead. It's too late. See, this isn't the Christian standing before God. This is the dead standing before God, and he's opening the books, and they're in the other books, but in the main book, the book of life, they're not in there. They've been taken out, blotted out. It says in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And let me just stop here and say that I deserve to be judged according to my works. But someone hung on a cross and paid for me. And I'm not going to be judged according to my works. I deserve to be. But I won't be. And if you're saved, neither will you. But the unsaved still have their works in front of all their deeds, everything they've done. I believe God will quickly show that most of the good things that people do had a self-centered motive even in those. And the dead were judged. In verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's it. That's the key. You're not there. He opens up his record book, and he goes through it alphabetically or however he goes through it, and you're missing. And whosoever is missing and not found will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, is this what God wants? No. Remember, as soon as you are conceived, you've got life. Back in Psalm 139, as soon as you were conceived in your mother's womb, God wrote down your life, your name, even before you were given your name. God wrote you down as existent. And God's desire is for not any to perish, the Bible says. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any blanks in that book of life. God doesn't want anybody scratched out of that book of life. That's not his desire at all. But he came to give us the way to have eternal life because Satan has tricked us. He tricked Adam and Eve and all of us into sin. And our sin brings death. We have this time, this dash between the day we are born and the day we die. We have this time to either choose life or reject him. To either choose to be saved or to be lost. And the unsaved will be blotted out and they will be judged and sentenced to death. And notice, I showed it to Dallas a few weeks ago. I show it to everybody I talk to. It's the second death. Second death. Everybody's scared to die. I mean, that's why our world's gone nuts now, because everyone's scared to die. I wish more people were scared of the second death than the first death. See, if you're a Christian, the first death doesn't bother you as much as the second death should. I mean, if you're a Christian, of course we don't necessarily want to die today. But if you're a Christian, you know where I go when I die? I go to heaven. Instantly with God. Forever. Without tears and without sorrow and pain. And with loved ones and waiting for other loved ones to join me. That's, in fact, because it's such a simple death, the Christian is referred to as just falling asleep. When you read the New Testament, you realize that the believer, when they die, they say they fell asleep. I love that. I love that. Because falling asleep, as I get older, man, that's one of my favorite things to do. It's not painful at all. I just dreaming. And one day he's going to sound a trumpet. And he's going to wake me up. Hey, I can handle that kind of death. If dying's just falling asleep, praise the Lord. That's all right. But the second death, that's the lake of fire. And our world, our country, had more people that were aware of the two different deaths. Who more than self their country loved. Who were willing to sacrifice because they knew that this life's not all there is. But what's happened is we have become surrounded with people whose life temporary is all they've got. And so they cannot sacrifice it for eternity. You see someone who's not ready to die, I submit to you that's someone who probably is headed to the second death. But I love the way the Bible's written because it says you can be born again. And if you're born twice, you don't die twice. There is no second death for the believer. There is no lake of fire. Just the unbeliever, the unsaved. And so then, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." You say, "Well, Pastor, I've lied before. How could I go to heaven if that verse is correct? I can't go to heaven. I'm a liar. Well, again, remember, Jesus took the sin of all of us and forgave us and died on the cross and gave us his clean record and traded places with us. And it's true. Nothing abominable can enter heaven. But you and I who are saved, we walk into heaven with a robe of righteousness that we didn't earn. We're given salvation by him, and we're declared clean and righteous before God. And those of us who are trusting in the Lamb, our names are permanently there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22, last page of the Bible, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are a lot of preachers that say the exact opposite of what this book says right here. They're liars. They're taking away from the word of God. There are people out there that do not want to hear about hell, and so they look for the minister who won't talk about hell. You might as well take a whiteout and just white it out from your Bible. Listen to me, that's dangerous. Because if you take out from the word of God, God's going to take you out of the book of life. You can't disrespect the word of God. This is how I know everything I've told you about today. I know it from this book. And people who want to have church without the Bible, they want to have church without the word of God. How do you do that? How do you have life? How do you live? How do you operate without the very word of God? You don't dare take from the word of God. I'm very serious about that. I'm very careful not to add or subtract anything to the word of God. But I like the way this minister says it. I think Eve liked the way the devil said it. That's why she fell for it. The Bible talks and warns us about people, ministers having, you know, tickling ears. They tickle our ears. They tell us what we want to hear. Be careful of that. Be aware that that's happening. It's happening all over the place. It isn't just the politicians who tell us what we want to hear. It's preachers have been doing it for longer than them. But in heaven, all the names of the saved will be there. Every person who is saved will be there. Their names are recorded in the book, and they will all be there. Not one will be missing. Not one will be left behind. They'll all be there. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse 7 says, the name of the wicked shall rot. The righteous will flourish, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You know what makes you wicked? Not getting saved. Because to reject Jesus Christ is the ultimate wicked thing you could do. The name of the wicked shall rot. When I read Proverbs 10:7, all of a sudden I realized there's a New Testament story that goes with that verse. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told the story of a rich man who died and went to hell, and a poor beggar named Lazarus who died and went to heaven. Now, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a poor beggar, but because he believed on Christ. And the rich man didn't die and go to hell because he was rich, but because he didn't believe on Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus mentioned hell more than heaven because Jesus wanted people to escape hell. And in Luke chapter 16, you'll find this story in the last half of the chapter where Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Many people have said for years, it's interesting that the rich man is not given, he's not mentioned by name. Jesus mentioned Lazarus, the poor beggar. Nobody cared about Lazarus. In fact, he was so poor that the dogs on the street, that you know, just the stray dogs would come and lick his sores. He was just living on the street, poor beggar. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. But when the rich man died, he was in hell. And one day I realized why the rich man doesn't have a name. Because the name of the wicked shall rot. Have you noticed what a lot of people try to do, politicians, celebrities, whoever, they try before they die to make sure their name's etched in something. Can I tell you something? This whole earth's going to melt. And all the engravings and all the etchings and everything will melt with it. And there'll come a day, no matter how much they tried to do to make sure everyone remembered them, if they're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be forgotten. And they will hear said, I never knew you. Lost. And even if you're a poor beggar living on the street and the dogs lick your sores because you're just a worthless beggar, nobody knows you. Nobody knows your name, but somebody does. Because you were born again. And what's cool is Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And for eternity, the name Lazarus is permanent. For eternity, everyone reads Lazarus's name. Lazarus has been there for 2,000 plus years, and he's still going to be there another 2,000 and 2 million. Lazarus is permanent. His name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's there. And for the last 2,000 plus years, some guy who was rich, who has no name anymore, is still in hell, still wishing he had a drop of water to cool his tongue. You see, that's what saved versus lost is all about. I'm glad there's younger people in the room. I hope you're listening. I hope you're aware of how important it is that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad there are older people in this room, because no matter how many good things we've done and how many people know our name and how many people like us and what kind of reputation we have built, if we're not born again, our name's not there. Is your name permanently found in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you saved today, or today you are not saved and soon you'll be lost? I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I just want to ask you this. I can't not ask you this. Would there be someone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know that I'm saved. But I sure would like to talk to you or your wife or someone about it. Would there be someone that would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to talk with you after church today. Would there be anybody with a raised hand? Pastor, that's me. I believe there's plenty of people in this room that are saved, but I don't know if everyone is. The Lamb's Book of Life, when you stop breathing, it won't matter about your bank account. It won't matter what everybody thinks about you on earth. When you stop breathing, there's only one thing that's going to matter. Whether or not you're born again. Whether or not your name is permanently recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Saved or lost. Let's close in prayer. I'll ask Joseph to lead us in a song. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the very sober reminder that you leave in the last pages of the Bible about the Lamb's Book of Life. Without it, there is no hope. With it, there is everything. Lord, we thank you that you love everyone. You don't want anyone to go to hell. You don't want anyone to be erased. But it requires us to trust you and to turn to you and repent and believe and submit ourselves to you and allow you to be our Savior. I pray that if there's one heart, someone who is not settled on this issue, that you'll convict them of that, that you'll allow them to be bothered by it until they are saved and know it. I pray if there's someone here that's not yet baptized, that they'll get baptized soon. Maybe they need to join the church, or maybe they need to grow in this area or that area. I pray that you work in their hearts in that particular area. I thank you for Dallas's salvation and now baptism. I rejoice, Lord, for how you continue to save people. Help us to be sober-minded people, to be serious about your word, to realize that we're coming to a climax, and your word is all that matters. Lord, help us to desire that others would have their names permanently recorded in your book. And we thank you and praise you, God, for how merciful and gracious you are to each one of us. None of us deserve to be in heaven, But we thank you through your mercy and grace that we can be. And these things we give thanks for in Jesus' name. Amen.